Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Billy Morgan wants a good gal to see a play. And on their journey homeward, they had stopped into a cafe. And as soon as they were seated, as if she grabbed a bill of fares, he called the waiter, and then she ordered, for everything was there. Bill said, "Gal, I know you're hungry, but I just don't like to steal. But who you think suppose I'll go pay for such a meal?" He said, "I'm satisfied to buy you two or three things that I hear. But the appetite you have got tonight, why, you will break a millionaire." So he said, "My name is Morgan, but it ain't J.P.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 31st of July, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We are one day away from Emancipation Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We are 3 days away from the Emancipation Day holiday, commonly known as August Monday holiday. I did a little research last night on it, and it brought me to this point when I realized that maybe that's a problem, right? It turns out not every country in the Caribbean celebrates Emancipation Day on August 1st, which is Emancipation Day, but several countries celebrate it on the 1st in August, and the holiday has become called, or is commonly known as, August Monday holiday in several jurisdiction. So we are looking at, I think, Guyana, Dominica, the Bahamas, and the British Virgin Islands. St. Lucia celebrates the holiday on the 1st of August. And I imagine that that's also a bit of the British influence involved there. But it troubled me last night. Like, if we call it August Day weekend, August Day holiday, are we diluting the moment, right? Are we diluting the commemoration? If we don't call it what it is, are we really commemorating it, right? And so I want to put that on the table, along with a couple of questions asked by our friends at the Bahamas National Reparations Committee to an event, Community Conversations, Emancipation Day Panel Discussion. Are we really free? Does it really matter for today's generation? Again, that's taking place tonight, 31st of July, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Fox Hill Community Center, right? And they're going to ask the question, are we really free? Does it really matter for today's generations? So I wanted to talk about reparations a bit this morning. And sorry, emancipation and reparations is incidental with that. But I have questions for the audience. Are you free? Do you feel free? Do you need to be any freer than this? Right? Is this a comfortable level of freedom for you, given what's going on across the globe? We've had constant conflict on the African continent over the last decade, easily. Never-ending conflict in continental Africa, the Ukraine war. We have Israel's attempt to genocide the Palestinians, right? We have conflict Left, right, and center. And then right next door to us, Haiti has been occupied essentially since shortly after we got our emancipation. Morning, Mr. Nuri, amateur historian.
What was the question?
So the period of self-governance that Haiti experienced immediately post the revolution, how long did that last, roughly?
They were occupied by the United States in like 1923, 26, around that time.
Around that time, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was what, 1809, to, that's 100 years later.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so are we comfortable with this level of freedom? Is our sense of freedom dictated by how much money we have in our pockets?
Well, in this modern society of Bahamas, we have a number of Bahamians who question whether we are independent. Mm. And, you know, I'm one of the proponents who say, man, yeah, we're independent, man. But people say, by the definition of their independence or their interpretation, saying that, no, we cannot be independent because of this. So now you ask, are we free?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going back in time because, you know, we had emancipation first, then we had independence next. Mm-hmm. Self-rule, then majority rule, then independence. That's three, four different movements, right? And now we are at this section of our development where we are questioning all of our gains.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no bad thing. It's not a bad thing to question our gains to get a restoration, mm-hmm. affirmation of oneself. But I find it odd that we continue to question.
Let me ask you another question. Call, I'm coming to you right now. Let me ask you another question. Did you find it odd that I came to work in fatigues today?
I thought you was going to war.
Unemancipating people.
That's what, unemancipating people?
Yeah, unemancipating people.
What, from mental slavery?
They don't want to be free, first of all. Mm-hmm. So why would I allow these people to trap you in this place you don't want to be in? If you don't want to be free, let me help you out with that. But we can get to that in a second. Okay. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
How you doing, Alan?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How you do?
Quite well. You know, the premise of there being comfort and freedom, you know, it's kind of naive.
Mm-hmm.
In that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even after you have achieved your freedom, you know, in the words of the late Prime Minister, if you ain't prepared to fight for it, you are not deserving of it.
Mm-hmm. But further to that, you won't have it.
No. You. It's not something that is going to be given given to you. You know, in terms of your wants and your needs. Now, if you can put your wants on the side and just concentrate on what you need in the regard of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, strong chance. You know, but you know, I think you know, anybody. This is something that they can guarantee. They lie to you, okay? Because you know, freedom is a personal exercise.
Personal and collective, right? But it
personal first.
And but it definitely is never devoid of the personal. Right?
No.
There's no space, even with the power, with all power dynamic, there's no space within which your personal agency, right, is not necessary.
Okay, see, okay, if we say that is in the collective, okay,
mm-hmm.
we are now talking about democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if everybody is voting for the same thing, that doesn't make it right.
Mm-hmm. That alone doesn't make it right.
Right? Even if they all have the same mindset, now, you know, if you see you, okay, if you think of an idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is disruptive in terms of what to collect once,
yeah.
Then you're going to say, well, am I prepared to pay a price?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, have a good day.
Yeah, man, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Reminding us of the words of Sir Lyndon Pinlan, if you don't fight for it, he said, if you don't fight for it, you don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. I think if you don't fight for it, you don't have it. right? If you don't achieve it yourself, you don't have it. In fact, if you feel comfortable, then you should also begin feeling suspicious, because if you feel comfortable, chances are you are not free, right? But Mr. Newry, and my good morning to my other guest in studio, guest co-host today, Ms. Roderica Ajua-Colley. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have come to the conclusion that perhaps what happened, Mr. Newry, Ms. Colley, is that we unemancipated ourselves in the drug era. Yesterday, we were talking about traffic. I still have another idiom. I think that's what I can call it, because I have to go and check a teacher to make sure that's the right descriptor. But another idiom that has added itself to the Bahamian driving lexicon, but it shouldn't be there, right? Following up on the conversation yesterday, that other idiom is what is understood does not need to be explained.
I agree.
Don't take that in your car with you. But what is understood does not need to be explained. If nobody ever explains it, how do we know that we all understand in the same thing, the same way? How? Anyway, back to the conversation yesterday. One of the callers said something very interesting, right? He said that he thinks that there is, well, in his conversation, it suggests that he thinks that there is a like a conspiracy to marginalize Bahamian labor in this construction, economic construction space. He said, man, young people are telling him they when they walk on the job and they go to the construction site looking for a job, they can't get a job and they feel like these people don't want to hire Bahamians, right? And I objected, right, and said, hey, an intervention, that's not the model in 2025. Mm-hmm. That's not the most effective way to get a job in the Bahamas in 2025. Given its current FDI agenda or platform. So he said that, well, that's how I got my job. And I asked him, when did he get the job, right? Mm-hmm. And he said he got the job in the 80s. And it hit me right away. I didn't say it on air at the time, but it hit me right away. The vast majority of us are still stuck in the drug era. Some of us are emotionally and developmentally stuck mm-hmm. there. Like, we have not matured. Emotional intelligence, psychological health and wellness, beyond that time, those either formative years or those years as an adult, those years when we felt most powerful, and that's the self we want to continue to model. Mm-hmm. I realize that a lot of people don't understand why they're being called lazy. They don't understand why employers are now hitting the airwaves and talking about these very dysfunctional, these problematic experiences with employees. In fact, I think it was in the news yesterday, it was released that the Royal Beach Club, they released a number of employees recently. And there was a conversation, people on one side saying, see, they're not for Bahamians. And then somebody indicated, no, all of those spaces were filled by other Bahamians. That's not what it is. A question of work ethic arose, right? And what was shared by a number of people was, first of all, the people were in their probationary period, right? So there's no breach of any law or policy. Second of all, that the people had been penalized or written up for in employment behavior and culture, sleeping on the job, I think some other types of petty, generally, but in terms of in the workplace, unacceptable behaviors and practices, right? And I think I realized what happened. In our minds, we still think we're in the 80s. See, in the 80s, you didn't have to wait, hardly, if you didn't want to. A gentleman called my show a year and a half ago, talking about he'd leave his house and wife beat his slippers and shorts. He'd come back with a fresh pair of clothes on, a outfit in a bag, fresh pair of shoes and a watch on his hand, because he bucked a couple of his boys and they break him off or rack a couple of dollars. And I realized that young people have modeled their work ethic from people who modeled their work ethic from people who didn't do any work in the drug era. I can stick a pin there because the caller has been on the line for a minute. Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience. Good morning, caller. You there? Hi, good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, guest co-host, ma'am.
Good morning.
Yes, you, emancipation, you learn to think and different things. But you were talking about the conversation yesterday with the traffic and different things, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I believe that we still demonstrate sometimes that we don't listen or something as a people. Because yesterday when I called in, I said that anyone who does not know how to navigate a roundabout should not have a driver's license,
mm-hmm.
right? And I said that anyone who goes on a roundabout on the outside lane and goes beyond the two first exits and goes around, they should be penalized in a serious manner because that is a total disregard for road safety, for rules, regulations, mm-hmm. and it is something that can really cause an accident because people are not really looking out for, like if you're in the middle lane, if you're in the inner lane, you're not really expecting someone on the left-hand side to be riding around with you, straight around with you, you know what I mean? You expect them to be following the rules, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the gentleman called after me, and I don't know his name, but I like to call him again, right? And he said that I was incorrect with my statement. And I was trying to figure out what about my statement was incorrect, and he started to talk about people in America. My statement was for the people in the Bahamas, right? And the statement I made, like, cannot navigate a roundabout, shouldn't have a driver's license. I feel as if every sensible Bahamian would agree with that. Because if you can't navigate a roundabout, what you doing driving? What you doing with a license? But the gentleman called in and said I made an incorrect statement. I mean, I want him again to call.
No, we ain't starting no row. I appreciate the point that you made, but we ain't starting no row on Emancipation Day. I like how you call him again, though. I like the humor. I like the wit. Listen, him again. Don't call in and row. Let me do the rowing today on the day before Emancipation Day. Producer, let's go to the next call quickly before we go back to my supposition that the problem is we are all stuck psychologically in the drug era. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Guess what?
Yes, sir.
He just summoned him again. Okay. The same people from Pikeway.
Let me practice the whole bear mind.
No.
Okay, go on.
People who work for Pike, are they Bahamians or are they foreigners?
The people who work for Pike are foreigners. The people who work for
the foreigners,
special,
right? Do they hold a driver's license?
They have to be
a driver's license, right? Follow me on this. Let's be slow, because some of us look like we eat snails this morning, right? Driver's license, yes, right?
Yeah, they have to.
Are they Americans?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you work for Pike, you're American.
Hold on, me and you did agree yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the roundabout. Because let's say it slow now, because obviously your caller can listen to him.
Don't row me.
Most cases in the States are few and apart with roundabouts, which means that the people in the States are not familiar or do not know how to use roundabouts.
Uncle, I got you. Hold on. I got you. Thank you. I got you. There's two different points being made. He's just pointing out that in the States, that practice is minimal, and you shouldn't expect, and what you what's inferred from that is you shouldn't expect the majority of Americans to know how to properly navigate a roundabout, which is important because of the increase in self-drive options for tourists in the country,
mm-hmm.
right? And it speaks to the need for proper signage. If you're not going to do it for Bahamians, would you do it for the tourists?
Mm.
Would you do it for the white people, please? Just some signage. Anyway, let's go back to this thing. Yes, ma'am.
So this is a popular opinion of what's happening in the job market with the younger people, mm-hmm. right? I feel like that in and of itself is its own revolution that's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to go through that period of uncomfortability and breaking the rules before you get to the place where there's order in the new thing you're trying to establish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as someone that's that was on the work fields coming up, employers are not respectful. A lot of employers are not humane. A lot of people have expectations of your behavior, and then the compensation for it does not match. And so what happens is, so now the rebellion component is, I'm not doing those things. Because before, it's you tolerate however they treat you on the job because this is your job, you need your job, you be respectful. It doesn't matter how your manager talks to you, you be respectful. I'm not doing that. You talk to me as a person, I talk to you as a person. Now, should you combat disrespect with disrespect? No. But sometimes in order for your opinion and your needs and your human decency to be respected, you're going to have to step on some
toes. Miss, this is a plantation. You didn't notice it yet? It's a plantation.
That's why I said it's an emancipation in and of itself. It's a rebellion and a little mini revolution within itself, because now it's coming in to say, now when you fire me and replace me with somebody else, they're going to do the same thing, because the problem here is you and how you treat your staff.
So listen, I'm going to say this, like, and start off with this disclaimer.
But another person's sleeping on the job. I don't have no control over that part.
Yeah, yeah. Start by saying some employers. I love my employer right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love being able to work. I love it. I had four employees. One of them was employers. One of them was Corinne Mitchell. She used to fire me every day and tell me, don't come to work late tomorrow now before you get fired again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't get fired for coming to work late, though. She just tell you that she fire you every day and then suggest you show up to work tomorrow.
Mm.
Right? I love all of my employers, but some employers have replicated models in the workplace that can only be called plantation style, mm-hmm. right? And I could understand why someone may think it's acceptable in this jurisdiction, even though it sits outside of moral, ethical, and in sometimes legal bounds, right? Mm-hmm. But have you noticed that we treat everybody on this plantation like a slave, like a Negro that should know to jump before the whip mm-hmm. is cracked? Parents treat their children like that.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, some parents have an expectation that their kid's going to do emotional labor for them, going to do physical labor for them, going to do psychological labor for them,
mm-hmm.
right? Some parents have their children filling the role of a confidant, but expected to act like a child.
Mm.
Right? And then we see in yesterday's stories the allegations coming out of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Rangers camp, that allegations that you're hazing campers. First of all, you're not even supposed to be hazing cadets. You're not supposed to be hazing new entrants into the military. See, you're not supposed to do it. You get away with it. And then you forgot the boundaries. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you hazing children. Same thing happened with shock treatment. Y'all really sitting here trying to convince us that hazing young people
mm-hmm.
is going to be the solution to what is likely at the root of it a psychological issue
mm-hmm.
coupled with physical violence being applied inappropriately
mm-hmm.
in many instances.
I never understood that show. As a mental health professional, a lot of times those kids are in environments where this is how they are being treated. So how can the problem also be the solution? I understand the component of fear, trying to make sure I scare you out of this life. But a lot of times I ain't scared. Mm-hmm. I ain't scared of you yelling. I scared yell at every day. I ain't scared of you threatening me. I get mm-hmm. threatened every day all the time, regardless, especially the ones that are heavily involved in criminal activities. What are you supposed to do to me?
Yeah, yell, and spit in my and, face, and why me? Why do you think that what you're doing right now is going to have any impact when in my real life
mm-hmm.
I'm constantly fighting off sexual exploitation?
Correct.
Attempts, threats of sexual abuse.
Mm.
People say it like they're advertising a product. Oh, look here, I can get some of that. Young people got to walk through that all the time. Let's stick a pin and go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes.
Hi, morning.
And good morning. Good morning to your guests. You know, talking about the ways in which they try to say they're shaping the young people, the younger generation. You know, I totally agree with her, because I think I spoke about it a few times on different shows, that I don't understand the concept behind the shock treatment. I said. It makes them worse, because now they have a new target of an enemy. Mm. You understand? Because when you don't treat them like that and embarrass them and expect for them to stand up with their head held high in public, we know how these young people tease, taunt each other when something bad or terrible happens to them. So why are you publicizing the terror that you're imposing on them and still expect for them to be, you know, good children after that?
And then you're telling them this could be, you know, you're recording it, you're documenting it, you're going to air it, you're going to publish it, you're going to upload it to the ether.
And it's going
to
stay there
forever,
for the rest of their lives.
And this is, so listen to what I said. This is a rehabilitative program, right?
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be.
Your intended outcome is that you rehabilitate all of these students, right? All of these young people. So you're telling me that you prepared. You don't care about a state where you've a young man or woman has actually rehabilitated themselves, because they do the rehabilitating, right? They've rehabilitated. They live in a solid life for 20 years, and then every 7 minutes, somebody on Bahamian TikTok sharing this.
Reposting
the meme, reposting the video over and over again, and cracking jokes and keying on them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You understand? So, and then if you look at a lot of the problems that these kids get into, especially with the fighting and warring, so they quote unquote against each other, all because one tease or taunt the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
let me tell you something. And stronger men have destroyed toilets after getting teased. Yeah? But we have this expectation that these young people are supposed to just swallow it and be Christ and be their Christ selves, right, until they die. It just, and thank you for that, right? Because perhaps that's the thrust. Like, most of all, who's supposed to feel free?
Yeah.
Thank you, caller.
Yeah.
We got these little children here, and you telling them why you have an expectation of feeling free or comfort? Mm-hmm. Because they cheering, that's why. Mm-hmm. Your job is to take care of them. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Caller? I'm sorry.
Shock treatment. I made some recommendations on that, on the research that I've done on that. Going on 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, developed countries have long since banned that type of program. Out of their system, you know, because for the same reasons that you and your guests are talking about, it's counterproductive, and it does nothing to rehabilitate and steer children in the right direction. As a matter of fact, it steers them in the wrong. You and like your guest so eloquently stated, you cannot use violence to solve violence. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But the program is able to be sold hook, line, and the Ministry of National Security bought into it, hook, line, and sinker, without doing any research on the program. And that's the sad reality of what, I mean, we can sell in it. Just don't slide or no knock on the founders or the of this program, you know, but I'm a taxpayer, and I have a right to comment on any program that is being funded by taxpayers. That's the perspective that I'm coming from. Mm. And it never should have been implemented. I'm not surprised that the development that came out of the this thing involving the Defense Force Office, I'm not involved at all, you know, because you give them too much authority over young, impressionable, innocent children. But, and it would only create more violence, as you see among our teenagers, you know, who have this difficulties relating to their parents. That's basically what's going on here. When they're children, they have difficulties relating to their parents. When they become adolescents and adults, then we say, oh, they don't know how to resolve conflict. But we need to address these issues from the formative years. But we ignore them, obviously. And then when they become uncontrollable, we push them into this program to pretend as if that we are doing something where we're only creating more violence amongst our young people. But we got to look more productive and programs that can work, not just to say that you're doing something. And that's the situation we find ourselves in today.
Amen. Thank you much.
What I never understood is why we expect children more intelligence and emotional awareness than adults. If you are 50 and you get mad and cuss out everybody and want to slap people who make you mad, how do you expect this 15-year-old to learn how to walk away Where are they supposed to magically develop this skill from? Because it ain't coming from you.
In fact, they're modeling you.
Perhaps. They're modeling
you. They
won't
be like, people want to be like their parents.
As even if the behavior itself is unhealthy.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you are not involved in healthy relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Granted, it may not be criminal or it may not be as violent. But if you are displaying aggression every time someone in take the meat out of the freezer or wash the dishes when you say so, you threatening them every time they do something wrong, then how are you going to punish me for threatening the person at my school who did something wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of don't agree with beating children as well. Because when you beat children, you teach them if someone does something that you don't like or disagree with, you physically hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're at school and the other kids are doing something that they don't like or agree with, so they physically hurt them. So now you could tell them, oh, you can't fight in school, but you just beat me for the same thing all the time. So how am I supposed to learn when and where if mm-hmm. you can't learn when and where and you're supposed to be smarter than me with all your intelligence? Oh, as a parent, I'm in charge. So that means you're supposed to also be better?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, I need to stick a pin call. I'm coming to you right now. I can't forget that yesterday we got a text that said, hey, y'all, please don't forget Elutra. It seems like the power, the people who are supposed to be providing the electricity, plagued with constant and repeated outages and lack of access to electricity. Plagued with it. I want y'all to know it's Emancipation Day 2025, and it seems as if we've driven the country back into a pre-1992 state. I was going to say we sailed it, right? But then I wouldn't want y'all to say, we're brave administration, only been here for 4 years. They can't be responsible for all of this. In the face of the new era in energy. You remember that?
Mm.
You remember all of that good talk, all that big talk? It's a pre-1992 in Elutra. Okay, let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good.
Hi, morning.
Good morning to your guest. First of all, I was trying to reach you about that sewer thing in Lewis Street, which Scoogey complained about.
They ain't get there yet?
No, I was trying to send you one WhatsApp this morning so you could have passed through on your way to the office. I spoke with him.
I don't need to see it. I know it exists.
You know what I mean? So, they refer to us as on the radio.
Yes.
So we could cut brush and
you doing that, on
them.
You doing that right now?
Right. So the issue with this exploiting the Rangers in the cadet program.
We're speaking about exploiting young people generally, but
that's an example we used.
Yes.
Yeah, but highlighted by that.
Yes.
What it is the government, because the lady said that they paid $1,000 to send their kids there.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't understand is this is the summer holiday, and that program should have also included counselors from mm-hmm. the school. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That to accompany the children, female counselors from the school or one or two male counselors to accompany these children, and such a thing would have never happened. Does that make sense?
It would have been less likely to have happened, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the question. Do you have counselors, guidance counselors, trained and vetted summer camp counselors, right? Do we have a program where we vet people who have been hired or work in summer camps? Producer, let's go to the phone line, and then I want to get to some texts. And then I can tell you all what I saw on my way home from work after talking about traffic incessantly for 45 minutes. Good morning, caller.
Good day, just talking voice along with you and your guest, Aaron.
Good morning, Bremen.
Aaron, before I get to my main point, right?
Okay, but we get plenty time. I get more callers on the line.
Okay, good. You are so intelligent or too intelligent. Now, I'm not putting work on you, okay?
Okay.
But for you to only have 1 hour on the radio, probably that you want. But because of your intelligency, I think you should be on longer so people could get the education in which the Bahamas needs.
My Bremen, that's sweet of you, but right now, some of these people only tolerating me for an hour. They can't wait for Nuri to get on the air, man.
Well, don't worry about that.
No, I don't worry about it.
The thing is, Newry has too much.
No, man. Brayman, I don't mean to do that. I have to hang up on you, Brayman. No, we can talk later, Brayman. We can talk later again. Hang up on you. Brayman, you can't say that, man. Brayman, I appreciate the sentiment that you are sharing, right? There's enough space on the airwaves in the country for all of these voices, all of our voices to be accommodated. Not the only voice. And there's so many other voices out there that need to find a way to come to the public domain. Let's go to the next caller.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron, to you and your guest.
Thank you.
My view is fighting fire with fire only creates a bigger fire. Mm-hmm. We must fight fire with water.
Mm-hmm.
And love is the water.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Sometimes the love is the fire blanket. I did see Muri, I did see one car fire the other day, and I thought about that blanket. You know the fire blanket?
Yeah.
Y'all consider getting a fire blanket for your own safety. Okay. I see the text, producer. You prep a call for me. Here's a text. It says, good morning, Aaron. No offense, but I'm done. Stick a fork in me, and whoever don't like it can suck it up, because if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. No one on this planet is free. Everyone has to pay, except entitled freeloaders. Haitians learn everything from us. They have no skills. Fresh off the boat, okay. Anyway, I'm tired of this Haitian built the Bahamas talk. First, no one cares. Murdered in Haitian waters. Now, Emancipation Day is coming up, and all I hear is Haiti again. Cancel me, don't care. They're texter. I'm not going to cancel you because you wrote this, but I will tell you this. You had me in the first half. You had me in the first half, and I thought you was going to say the billionaires, the 1%, right? Like the 1% of people that hold 99% of the world's wealth. I thought that's who you was talking about, entitled freeloaders.
Mm.
You know? On another technical point, what occurred in Haitian waters is a homicide until it's been determined whether it's a murder or right, or if it was a judicial killing. But see, we stuck in the drug era.
Mm.
We stuck in the drug era. Mm-hmm. Dear texter, thank you for this text, because I could segue. Because we stuck in the drug, psychologically, in our minds, we're stuck in, who are we celebrating? Look at the behavior across entities in the country. NGOs, government ministries, right? State actors. One in response to the audited report say, garbage!
Mm.
The minister table, right? We got all of these people acting as if they are gangsters, almost as if they stuck in the drug era, psychologically. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Sir, is it unreasonable and ridiculous for me to say that we unemancipated ourselves in the drug era? We made money our culture. We made money our language. We made money our entertainment. We made money our food, and we unemancipated ourselves?
That's a question for me.
Yeah, I'm asking you, is it fair or reasonable for me to say that?
It's fair enough for you to say that, because you're speaking truth.
Cool beans. That's all. I just wanted to know if I was being ridiculous.
No, you're speaking truth. We had a drug era. And a lot of us, the pastors, the members of parliament, the deacons, the police, a lot of them benefited. A lot of them benefited from it.
Yeah, most of. Hold on, I want us to do this little exercise right now. Open your eyes and look around the room, and then if you could look at yourself, and everybody you see, all of us benefited from it.
Yes.
Every single person in the country.
Ran up to the island. There's a church that has about 15 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the church value almost $2 million.
Mm.
Eh. How God make us a $2 million hurricane shelter? See?
You don't build them church, though.
Drug
money build a lot of the churches on the family islands and a lot of churches right here in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of drug people hide their money. See, in the church, you don't have to give out, because you know what, you can tell them with the people how much offering the people putting church Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You can deposit any amount of money in the bank. Anyhow, let's go.
No,
what I called you for,
yes,
Mr.
sir.
Green,
yes, thank you.
I called you about this Defense Force saga thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the 16-year-old young man. I don't think that... I know you have some smart 16-year-old and you have some mischievous 16-year-old, but I don't think that young man can make up a story like that. That couldn't make up.
Yeah.
You know, that just couldn't make up. Now, people saying that, man, but they Marines and this and this and that, in every... And you maybe could attest, I don't want to say it like that, but you maybe would know. In every, you have lesbians and you have homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
In every organization.
Yeah.
And you have some freaky people around here.
Yeah, outside of, because the two could be mutually exclusive. I got you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you're gonna cost the young man. You're going to force a young man to masturbate in front of other people.
Alleged
to masturbate in front of other young men.
See, okay.
So they said, what would he have benefited from that? That might have been his trill.
Listen, I got, let's stick a pin there. Because here's my thing. And thank you. I want to thank you for sharing, because this is another individual raising concern for vulnerable young people and the systems, the dysfunction and systems that's supposed to protect anybody that's within it, right? You want to haze young people and you want to lutra? You tell them you can't come to bed till you catch 1,000 mosquitoes, and I want you count them. I want you show me your wig. I mean, that's how you haze young people. You don't know. See, what a serious allegation. It's an allegation. Right? You can't be hazing people, children. You see, but if nobody tell you you can't haze your wife, nobody tell you you can't haze your wife and your own children, then maybe you don't realize you can't haze other people's children. Anyway, you hear that music? That means we have to go to a break. When we get back from the break, I can tell you about the accident I saw on the corner where I got a ticket for trying to snitch to the police. I'm telling you, this episode of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is entertaining. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Say the frog with his hobby didn't have any wing. Why?
Just because he had nothing else to do.
There is lots of folks just like that foolish frog of mine.
Frog of mine will get himself in trouble just to pass the time.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Trafficking in persons, or human trafficking, is defined as recruiting, transferring, and receiving of persons by means of threat or force, abduction, fraud, deception, abuse of power, and giving or receiving of payments or benefits with the aim of exploiting them. It is a criminal offense in the Bahamas that falls under the Trafficking in Persons Prevention and Suppression Act 2008. A person convicted of trafficking in persons can receive sentences ranging from 3 years to life in prison and fines of up to $15,000. If you think someone is a victim of this crime, call Police Emergency at 919 or Crime Stoppers at 328-8477. This message is being brought to you by the Ministry of National Security.
Pop the top and collect, check your cap at 700, 200,000 in cash and prizes, with winners different islands.
Collect!
Pop the top and collect, check your cap at 700, you could win free bears, take a sip, and collect merchandise, might I say, I pop mine at,
Exomarie got
a, I pop mine at,
Homecoming, Eluxra,
win free bears at,
Abaco and Andres,
check your cap,
Grand Bahama,
collect! Pop the top and collect, check your cap at 700, collect merchandise, might I say,
drink responsibly, but...
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible. work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Hold him, Joe, hold him, Joe, hold him, Joe, don't you let him go. Hold him, Joe, hold him, Joe, if you let him go, he's gonna break his nose. That donkey wah-wah-da, ah, the donkey wah-wah-da, ah, the donkey got a fever, he gonna put on a beaver. Ah, the donkey got a Jaeger, he gonna see Andy Hager, turn out to a leg-legger, then to be a bootlegger.
Producers see me drink a sip of water to clear my throat, he say, donkey need water, producer. It's a sweet song. Thank you for playing it. I only cracking Joe produce. I have to remind the people my primary function, Joe, is to entertain, to crack joke. Well, I do that by cracking jokes. Here's a text. Good morning, Ms. Green. We have to wonder if this excuse is what they're now using, the work ethic. While some are lazy, this doesn't mean all, but I think they use that just to hire foreigners with less pay. It's all about profit and management bonuses on how much money they save the company. It's always profit-making. There's always profit-making and saving money involved, right? However, in this instance, I don't think it's fair to just say that. I'm sticking a pin in, we are collectively, psychologically stuck in the drug era. It's not that they're lazy, it's that their expectations of what work means are just completely off because they're still modeling behavior that arose in the drug era where people used to fly to the States for breakfast every day. And sometimes they used to fly back and then go back to the States for dinner, same day, different plane, different pilot.
What about vision, Aaron? We started off the conversation about emancipation and whether we are emancipated, truly free.
Yeah.
Right? And I would say emancipation is a verb, action word, a movement. And when people question whether we are free in mind, free in being, right? Is it that we believe that we have arrived, therefore we have settled and said, man, I didn't free, you know? And or is it that there's a need to continue the journey, moving the antebellum to the South and running post-slavery or during slavery in the United States and try to move northward? Were you free when you reached the North, or were you free when you reached the Bahamas?
Right.
Or the freedom, or the quest for freedom continues?
Absolutely. Listen, let me take these last two callers. Caller, you got 30 seconds and then I can respond to that. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Porphyria, Miss Corley, and Mr. Neri, and Miss Green.
Morning.
Tell me something.
Who's
the managing director, the editor, managing director for The Guardian?
Why you want me to tell you that right now?
Oh, cause you sharp. Yeah, it's a beat to the ground, and just like mine. And plus, you could see, you ain't blind. So I was wondering, if we change the managing director yet or not.
What you mean?
They're doing a good job. I'm just trying to find out if they change it. They had some changes lately.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, as it stands, the executive editor is Candia Dames, and the managing...
Good woman does a great job.
And the managing editor is Travis Cartwright Carroll.
I think he does a great job. To Ms. Green, as an agriculturist, I think that's the word. I'm not sure, a farmer, right?
You
heard anything on the news a couple of weeks ago where they're saying we got to be careful of these vegetables and fruits and stuff where we get them? I think they mentioned Dominican Republic. I think some farmers association.
Okay, so that's not how it was framed. I can tell you quickly. All right. The commentary was that there were local farmers, particularly in Andres, who were concerned about the new deal, right? A part of the deal announced was that the government was able to now accept 80 different types of agricultural products from the Dominican Republic because we now have the local capacity to do the phytosanitary testing necessary for these types of imports. On the announcement of that story, farmers came together and said, hey, hold on, we're very concerned about this new policy or this new space because a number of the items that you are importing from the Dominican Republic are currently being grown in the Bahamas right now, right? And so that was the concern, not necessarily the quality of the goods. What was announced in the initial story is that we now have the capacity to do our own, like, phytosanitary testing and certification. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Grant. I can't do it in 30 seconds, but I'll say this. I don't know how they're going to do that and implement the cannabis industry when they don't have a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer. But the discussion about freedom is based on your level of consciousness. Some people may think they're free. So you have political freedom, physical freedom, economic freedom, social freedom, freedom of choice, right? And these come into play, these interface with external agencies and geopolitical inputs. Like we see the United States, in fact, we are not free. And so as we look at time pass, let's go back in 1800s, people were free to do more and more. But as time passed, our freedoms have been restricted, and yet still we of this position that we are free because we have been emancipated from slavery. Being emancipated from slavery does not make us free or doesn't constitute freedom. If you really look at it, this is a complex discussion. I'd like to really to do a topic on it because we all need to be enlightened. One of the arguments I had with Stephen was who seems to think he knew it all. It was during the pandemic. He said it was the rights of the individual over the rights of the collective. And so that was the problem right there. There's a case called Jacobson versus Massachusetts. You need to look at it. Give thanks.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I got a text here that says it about the 16-year-old, it was consensual. Okay. If it's about a 16-year-old in a summer camp, in a program, right, where there's a supervisor or their position, if the individuals in the supervisory position are now operating as guardians, right? Because the 16-year-old is in their care. That 16-year-old, the consent is not accepted by the court. They can't consent in that situation. You see what I'm saying? Because the supervisor is an imbalance of power. That's why universities, they find it distasteful that lecturers are sleeping with students. It's unethical. But in this instance, I think there's actually an offense, right? The statutory rape. The person can't consent in this instance because there's an imbalance of power. Also, Mr. Newry, to what you were speaking to, I can't wait for your guess, but here's what I learned last night. We have a Bahamian author and researcher. His name is Chris Manjapra. Chris Manjapra wrote Black Ghosts of Empire, The Long Death of Slavery and the Failure of Emancipation. Also, Chris Manjapra wrote this article, The Scandal of the British Slavery Abolition Act Loan, right? And in 1835, in order to pay $15 million, which is approximately pounds, 15 million pounds, which is approximately 200 billion pounds in today's money. The British government set up this bond so that they could pay the slave owners, compensate them for removing their property and assets. And that bond, that loan, was not paid back until 2015. So I can put it on the table today. We definitely wasn't emancipated before 2015. Because imagine that you, the descendant, was paying the debt owed to the slave owners without you even knowing it. Oh, I don't like that type of freedom at all. And if you don't like it, join me somewhere, anywhere, any day, because I unemancipating people, because y'all don't like this freedom at all. Ah, boy. Mr. Newry, Miss Colley, I want to say thank you for joining me. And, yes, Mr. Cunningham, we shall reach out to you entirely and have you guys on air to talk with us about what's going on at Straw. Tomorrow's Emancipation Day. You still got time to emancipate yourself. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
Noble and great, but his love would cause him to applicate his love alone, tasking Edward to live.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.